Welcome to the second session of the next Reformation Seminar. Yesterday we looked at the church of yesterday, and today we're going to look at the church of today. George Barna, who I co-authored a book with, is a Christian pollster. He's reportedly the most quoted Christian of our generation. He wrote a book in 2005 entitled Revolution, and he made a few points in that book that are worth repeating. Number one, he said, a quiet revolution is rocking America, though the nation is largely unaware of it. Number two, the primary impetus of the new revolution is not salvation among the unrepentant, but the personal renewal and recommitment of believers. The dominant catalyst is people's desperation for a genuine relationship with God. And I would upgrade that a bit to say what it really is. It is a desperate desire for the deeper things of God, namely Jesus Christ. Modern research demonstrates that the church as we know it has little to no ability to transform the lives of God's people. It also has virtually no influence on our culture, Barna said. The Bible never describes church the way we have configured it. One of the fastest growing models of church today are Christians that gather outside the organized structure of church. Barna goes on to say that 20 million Christians in America have sought fellowship outside the walls of the typical traditional church. He calls these 20 million revolutionaries. Despite being unfairly criticized as isolated and independent, the research shows that these revolutionaries are more tuned in to the importance of Christian community and spiritual life than those who are part of traditional churches. Not only do they have a wider net of faith-based personal relationships that affects their spiritual development, but they believe that Christians cannot mature properly outside of a spiritual community. According to a Gallup poll that was done in 2007, each year 4,000 new churches start, but 7,000 close. And 1 million people leave the traditional church every year. Now, what is fascinating about that, however, is that many of those people who are leaving the institutional church are finding Christian community according to non-institutional lines. Here are some other statistics. These are about pastors. And they come from the Fuller Institute, they come from the Barna Group, and they come from an organization called Pastoral Care Incorporated. 1,700 pastors leave the pastorate, the clergy system, every month in the United States. 1 out of 10 ministers will actually retire as a minister in some form. And by minister, we're talking about a professional pastor. 40% of pastors report serious conflicts with a parishioner at least once a month. 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. 70% say they have a lower self-image now than when they first started. 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. According to Barna's latest research, 5% of the adult population is currently engaged in a form of church that is outside traditional institutional lines. Now, to break that down, that's 228 million adults in a population of about 305 million, which equals 11,400,000 Christians in the United States who are gathering in Christian communities outside the traditional institutional church. Now, these numbers are staggering, and they give us an insight into this one fact, that many Christians are dissatisfied with the modern form of church, and not only that, but modern evangelicalism. In 2009, Michael Spencer wrote an article that went viral quickly. It was called The Coming Evangelical Collapse. But I agreed with virtually everything he said in it. David Fitch has written a book entitled The End of Evangelicalism. And I have entitled my blog Beyond Evangelical because it crystallizes the feeling and conviction and desire of countless Christians with respect to the evangelical stream of Christianity to which I belong. I am an evangelical. However, I, along with many others, have gone beyond evangelical. And beyond evangelical, as I've stated on my blog, is not non-evangelical. But the fact is, we are living in a day when modern evangelicalism is in ruins. The four notes of evangelicalism, being Bible-centered, being cross-centered, being conversion-centered, and being evangelistic, has taken on meaning so diverse that Al Mohler on the right and Rob Bell on the left, just to name a few, call themselves evangelical. But the tide is turning. Christians in their 20s, 30s, and 40s are tired of the shallowness of modern evangelicalism. They are tired of the self-righteousness, callousness, and judgmentalism that marks much of the movement. But they're also tired of the libertinism, grace equals license to sin, that marks much of the movement as well. They are neither left nor right. They are Christians who have a deep allegiance and devotion to Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus alone is this world's true Lord, and he stands above all systems and personalities, even religious. They love, desire, and stand for the ecclesia, a local body of believers who are enthroning Christ as head, and they believe that the church is Christ existing as a shared life community, not 2 hours on Sunday and Wednesday. This hearty band of Christians from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue stand for the four notes of classic evangelicalism, but they have gone beyond them. In addition, they are intensely Christ-centered. Jesus is not only the Supreme Lord, he's not only the wonderful Savior, but he is all, as Colossians 3:11 says. They are resurrection life-centered. They believe that Jesus, by his resurrection, is still alive and indwells every believer. But more, every believer can live by his indwelling life. And this is the meaning of the Christian life. They are also body-centered. Christ is known in and through the shared life community called the church, which is his body. And they are eternal purpose centered. God has a timeless purpose that goes beyond salvation, and he's never let go of it. These are those who have gone beyond evangelical. And you can read more about this shift that's going on in evangelical Christianity in the post entitled Beyond Evangelical. One of the things that so many of them are saying is this. They say, it is so hard for me to find a Christian that is like me. Most of my friends are either on the political left and they've absorbed the agenda and the worldview of the left, or they're on the political right and they've absorbed the agenda and the worldview of the right. And then they go on to say, most of my friends are either on the theological left. They're very liberal in their views of Scripture. They're very suspicious of the orthodox teachings of the Christian faith. Or they're on the extreme right, and they've embraced a fundamentalist theology. Where can I find Christians who are like me, who are neither left nor right? Where can I find Christians that have the compassionate heart and tolerance toward other believers, truly loving them and treating them as though they want to be treated, which seems to mark people on the left? And yet, where can I find Christians that also are not caving into the culture and giving their hearts to the world system, and who are not religious and judgmental and harsh and callous? Where can I find the Christian that's neither left nor right, either politically or theologically? And that, my dear brother and sister, is where the beyond evangelicals come in. We are neither left nor right. We eschew both legalism and libertinism. And there's so much debate between Christians on the left and the right, and those on the left refer to themselves oftentimes as the new Christians. But really, there's nothing new about it at all. If you're a student of history, and even church history, you will find that the Christians that are on the left have been around with us for a very long time. And I mean both politically and theologically. And the Christians on the right have been with us for a very long time. What we haven't seen is a resurgence of Christians who are neither left nor right, who are neither libertine nor legalistic, who are neither self-righteous, judgmental, on the one hand, and haven't been sucked in by the culture and given their birthright to the world system. Another observation is that both Christians on the left and right choose the sins that they believe are the most harmful, and they create their own pyramid of what sins are worst versus what sins are insignificant. And I'm not going to specify the specifics of what these different groups tend to point to, but I will simply say that the posture is really the same. Christians on the left tend to be very intolerant and judgmental toward Christians on the right who don't share their values, and Christians on the right tend to be very judgmental and very hostile to Christians on the left who don't share their values. But what God is doing today is He is calling His people to neither move to the left nor to the right, but to move forward. And not to make an issue or a set of issues or a set of values that which we owe our allegiance to, but to give our allegiance to a living, breathing person, Jesus Christ. And it is very exciting. And some of these emails I will get will come from single people, and they will say, I know God has called me to marriage, but I am having the hardest time finding a Christian that's like me, who on the one hand is not religious, is not harsh and self-righteous, but on the other hasn't sold their soul to the world system and the ways of the world. I would encourage everyone who is listening to this to read two books. One is a book entitled Love Not the World by Watchman Nee. And I think that is a great book for Christians who lean left to read, to understand the difference between the earth and the world system, and to understand that there is something that the Bible calls the cosmos. And Paul talked about it, and John talked about it, and the other writers of the New Testament talked about it. And it is something that is so powerful that John has these words: if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, he's not talking about the earth, and he's not talking about the population of the earth, nor people. He's talking about a system called the world system. So I would encourage you to read that book. It is an incredible treatise on that subject. The other book I would encourage you to read, if you haven't already, is a book entitled Jesus Manifesto by Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola. And I recommend that for this reason, that in that book, we were drafting a manifesto, essentially for beyond evangelicals, that we were introducing to God's people a way that was neither left nor right, but a way forward. And we also talked about in that book the viewpoint of those who are on the left. And there's some chapters dedicated to that viewpoint. But we've also talked about the viewpoint of those who are on the right. And we dedicated several chapters to that viewpoint. And so these books go into this issue a whole lot more. But the exciting thing is that if you resonate with the article on my blog, Beyond Evangelical Number 1, and the coming series that I'm very excited about writing, you are not alone. There are others who are just like you. Well, we'll end it on that note, and tomorrow we will talk about the church of the future. What does the next Reformation say about the church of the future? Well, we'll find out.